All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 5. I'm going to try my best not to push the pulpit off of the stage this morning. I have a tendency to lean into it when I preach, so if it falls down, just ignore it, and we'll keep right on rolling. John chapter 5, today we're talking about trust. Trusting is hard, because when trust is broken, many of us get skeptical, and some of us even get cynical. Trust is a lot like a tree. You know how long it takes for an oak tree to grow? Anybody know how many years it takes for an oak tree to grow into a fully mature tree? A bunch is correct. That's the Greek term. 3,000, not quite that many. It takes between 30 and 70 years for an oak tree to be fully grown and fully mature. And trust is kind of like that. It takes a long time to grow trust. And just like that oak tree can be cut down in 30 minutes with a chainsaw or 30 seconds with a lightning strike, trust can be broken just as quickly. So the question is, where do you go? What do you do when you aren't quite sure who you can trust? Where do you turn to? Who do you turn to? I'll tell you, today, the one you turn to is the one who has never failed you, the one who never will fail you. When you aren't sure who you can trust, hear me clearly, you can trust the Lord. And when you do, when you trust the Lord, what you'll discover is that He is, in fact, trustworthy. You can trust Him, and you say, man, how do you know that? Like, how do you know that you can really trust Jesus? Because that sounds a lot like preacher talk, and you know how preachers can be. Now, how do you know that you can really trust Jesus? Well, listen, if you want to answer the question, is Jesus trustworthy, you need to do two things. Number one, you need to look at His works. Every miracle that Jesus performed was God's way of getting our attention. We went to go see David and Branson this past week. How many of you have seen that at the Sight and Sound Theater? It's really good. I really recommend it. I'm not a musical guy, and there were way too many songs, but it was really a really good show. Now, about halfway through, or maybe a little more than halfway through, they break for about 20 minutes. And guess what they do? About 5 minutes before the second part starts, guess what they do? They blink the lights. And when they blink the lights, that's like a sign saying, hey, it's time to get back to your seat because you don't want to miss what's happening. When Jesus would perform a miracle, it was like lights blinking, saying, hey, you want to pay attention to what's coming next. Get back to your seat. Pay attention. Listen closely. So is Jesus trustworthy? We'll look at His works. Secondly, is Jesus trustworthy? You want to listen to His words. Look at those red letters in your Bible. Put those red letters to the test. And here's what you'll learn when you look at those red letters in your Bible. Here's what you'll learn, that Jesus made some really bold and really audacious claims. I mean, He made some wild, wild claims. We saw one of those last week. You remember the work of Jesus that we saw last week? There was a man who was disabled for 38 years, and Jesus went up to him and said what? What did He say? Do you remember? Get up, pick up your mat, and do what? And walked. That was an incredible miracle. A man who couldn't walk for 38 years, and Jesus just walked up to him, said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And the man did it. And do you remember the words of Jesus that followed? It was a bold and audacious claim. Look in your Bible. It's in verses 17 through 18. Here's the words of Jesus. Remember, the Pharisees got all angry because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And here's what Jesus said, verse 17 and 18. Jesus responded to them, my Father, not our Father, my Father is still working, and I am working also. And look closely at verse 18. This is why the Jews began trying all the more to kill Him. Not only was He breaking the Sabbath, but He was even calling God His own Father, making Himself equal to God. See the wild, wild claim that Jesus made, that bold an audacious claim. He claimed that He was equal to God, that He was in fact God. That is a wild claim. He performed a miracle. The lights flashed. Pay attention. And then He said, by the way, I can do that because I am God. I am God the Son. And the question is that true? Like, is His claim true? If it is true, if He is who He said He is, if He really is God, then not only can you trust Him, but you can follow Him, which is sort of what trust is, right? Trust is feet put to your faith. You can follow him. You can do what he says. You can go where he says to go and say what he says to go, because he is, in fact, trustworthy. This week, we're picking up in verse 19, and what I'll show you this week are three reasons why you can trust in that bold and audacious claim that Jesus is God. He made the claim, verse 17 and 18, and now he's going to give us reasons why we can trust that he is who he says he is. With your Bibles open to John chapter 5, let me invite you to stand as we honor the public reading of God's word. We're going to begin in verse 19, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 29. And God's word says this: Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. And just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son gives life to whom he wants. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but is passed from death to life. Truly I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also has he granted to the Son to have life in himself. And he has granted him the right to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of condemnation." Would you pray with me? Father, we are again grateful for the day. Grateful for your word, grateful that you are a trustworthy God, and I pray, God, you would prove that again today. Show us who you are through your word and help us to respond to you accordingly and to worship you accordingly. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus had made his bold and audacious claim that he is, in fact, God, that he and God are equal. He is God the Son. And now we have to examine the evidence together. Three reasons why you can trust that Jesus is God. Number one, you can trust that Jesus is God because he does as only God can do. And you say, what are those things that he did that only God can do? Well, first I want you to notice that Jesus replicated the miracles of God the Father. Look at verse 19 in your Bibles. Tell me what's the very first word in verse 19. What do you see? Truly? Does anybody see verily? Anybody see, what's something else you got? Verily, most assuredly. Sometimes. Is that, no, that's not right. You got me on that one. Truly, verily, most assuredly. Listen, the Greek transliteration of that word is amen. And it's written twice in the Greek manuscript. So it's like, amen, amen. And when you see that word, truly, truly, or verily, verily, or most assuredly, what I want you to hear is almost like Jesus is saying, hey, are you listening? Listen up. That's almost like what he's saying. He's repeating it for emphasis. Are you listening? Listen up. Truly, truly, he says. Truly, truly. There are 25 truly, truly statements in the book of John. Three are found in this passage, one in verse 19, one in verse 24, and one in verse 25. And when you hear that, I want you to imagine Jesus saying, hey, listen up. Y'all remember Clyde Childs? No. Clyde Childs came and preached. I called him the Colonel because he dressed all in white, had a white suit and white shoes. And when he wanted to get your attention, guess what Clyde would do? Hey, that's what truly, truly is. When you see truly, truly, Jesus is clapping, saying, hey, listen up, we've got something important to say. I've got something important to say, and listen to that important thing. Look in verse 19. Jesus replied, truly, I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will, what does your Bible say right there? It says, marvel or be amazed. So that you will marvel or be amazed. What is it that Jesus wanted us to hear? That he replicates the work of the Father because he sees, according to verse 19, what the Father is doing. When he healed the man who couldn't walk for 38 years, that was replicating the work of the Father. He replicates the healing miracles of the Father. Secondly, Jesus raises the dead, y'all. Like he raises the dead. Only God has the power to take something that is dead and give life to it. And that's what Jesus says. Look at his words, verse 21. And just as the Father does what? Raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wants. So Jesus says, I can replicate the works of God, my Father. I can raise the dead like God, my Father. And what's the result of those things? Well, Jesus is revered. He is honored. Look at it, verse 23. That word, so that, because. I do this because. So that all people may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The problem with the Pharisees were, they were happy to talk about God the Father, but they were not going to honor the Son. And listen to me, you cannot love God and be unsure about who Jesus is. Doesn't work that way. We live in a culture where God is mostly okay. We can say God bless America. We can talk about God. But you start talking about Jesus and you're labeled as an intolerant bigot. And verse 23, listen, look at what verse 23 says. Verse 23, Jesus is very clear. Whoever does not honor the Son, what? Does not honor the Father. Listen, you can't be hating on Jesus while professing your love for God. Doesn't work that way. To honor Jesus is to honor God. And to dishonor Jesus is to dishonor God. Why? Because he's God. He is the Son of God. You can trust that he is God because he does as only God can do. Secondly, you can trust that he is God because, praise the Lord, he saves as only God can save. Amen. I want you to see two things that he does here that he says in these verses, these next few verses. He declares eternal life to the spiritually dead. He declares it, but he also delivers it. He declares it and he delivers it. He's not just speaking empty words. He's not just saying something. He follows through on his promise and he saves as only God can save. Look in your Bible, verse 24. Tell me what's the first word you see there. Truly, truly, verily, verily. What do you hear when you hear that? You hear Jesus clapping. Are you listening? I got something important to say. He says, truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under the judgment, but has passed from death to life. What does your Bible say next? Verse 25. Truly, there it is. Are you listening? He's clapping at us. Listen up. Are you listening? Truly, I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. My goodness, there is something special about the voice of Jesus. There's something about the voice of Jesus that makes the earth move. At the voice of Jesus, the blind were told to open their eyes and see. The lame were told to stand on their feet and walk, and the deaf were told to open their ears and hear, and they did. At the voice of Jesus, a leper was made clean. At the voice of Jesus, Peter, remember that time they were on the boat and Jesus said, come on over here, walk on the water, Peter. At the voice of Jesus, Peter walked on the water. A couple of weeks ago, we saw in John 2 that at the voice of Jesus, water was changed into wine. At the voice of Jesus, do you remember the story when this little kid had a happy meal with a fish sandwich and some bread in it, and then he brought it to Jesus? And Jesus, at the voice of Jesus, replicated that little happy meal and he turned it into a feast that 5,000 people couldn't finish. There were 12 basketfuls at the end. Everyone was so full they couldn't finish it. That happened at the voice of Jesus. At the voice of Jesus, blind Bartimaeus, he received his sight. At the voice of Jesus, Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come out. And at his voice, Lazarus was raised to life. And as miraculous as those physical miracles were and are, the most miraculous miracle of all is in this room. Amen. The gift of salvation. The gift of eternal life. That the voice of Jesus, you and me, once spiritually dead, we have been made alive. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can save. There's no other way. Because there's no other God. It is Christ and Christ alone. He can do what only God can do. He saves as only God can save. Thirdly, you can trust that Jesus is God because, well, now we're getting a little scary. Because He judges as only God can judge. You ever hear someone say something like, only God can judge me? Y'all ever hear that? I hear that often. It's usually someone who's lost, and usually it's an attempt to justify their own sin. They say, well, only God can judge me. And I say, man, if you're lost and you're using only God can save me to justify your own sin, then you do not have a clear picture of what it means to be judged by God. That is a fearful, fearful thing. God will judge. And God is a righteous judge. Look with me, verse 28. Jesus says, do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when... What does your Bible say, all there or some?
All.
Not some. All. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will do what? They will hear His voice. The voice of the Son. That beautiful, powerful, life-giving voice of the Son will call the righteous and the unrighteous. All will hear His voice and all will respond to His voice. Bones will rattle, the earth will shake when the voice of God Almighty calls Him forth. Look at verse 28 again. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of condemnation. Did you catch it? Those who are saved, who have trusted in Christ, they will be raised to the resurrection of life, while those who have done wicked things will be raised to the resurrection of condemnation. Your translation may say the resurrection of judgment. And you say, wait a minute, I thought everyone's done wicked things. Like, doesn't the Bible say that all have sinned? Yes. Yeah. But if you have put your faith and trust in Christ, then He paid the penalty for your sin. Yeah. And if you haven't put your faith and trust in Christ, then guess what? You will pay the penalty for your sin. Those who have trusted in Christ to forgive their sins, they get life. Eternal life in heaven. And those who have rejected Christ, they will be judged for their sins and be condemned by them. Only God can judge you, true. And He will. The resurrection of condemnation, or this resurrection of judgment, it's a greater picture of it's found in Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment after the millennium, after Satan has been thrown into the lake of fire, will come the great white throne judgment. This final judgment is where unbelievers, those who have refused to believe in Christ, those who have refused to repent, those who are unsaved, they will be judged for their sins and cast into what the Bible calls the lake of fire. Listen to how Revelation 20 explains this great white throne judgment. Verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. From His presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up their dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged. Each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And listen to verse 15, listen closely. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Ooh, that's scary. That's somber words. Can I ask you a question? Why in the world would you want to be thrown into the lake of fire when you can instead run into the arms of God? Come on. Only God can judge me. Only God can judge you. Very true. But he will. He'll open up two books. And if your book is written in the book of life, then at judgment day, you will hear the words, "You are forgiven. Your sins have been paid for by Jesus. Eternal life in heaven awaits." But if your name isn't in the book of life, well, then God will judge you, and you will be found guilty, and you will be cast into the lake of fire. You want your name written in the Lamb's book of life? It's so easy to do. Let me share with you the gospel, the good news. Here it is. Jesus is God. He became like one of us. He was born of a virgin. He was fully God and yet fully man. He lived a sinless life. Not even the smallest stain of sin was on him. And because of this, he was called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he did that. He took away the sin of the world by going to the cross. And on that cross, they drove nails through his hands and his feet, crucifying him. His blood poured out. And it was his blood that paid for the sins of the world. He died a real death on the cross. He was really dead. And then he was put into a real tomb. And for 3 days, his body laid in that tomb. But on that Sunday morning, he was resurrected back to life. You know what's funny? What's interesting when you read the resurrection accounts and the narratives, no one says it didn't happen. Like they wanted to make excuses for it. He was just taken away by his people. They hit him. Or, oh, he didn't really die. If you read the history account, they didn't really die. They just they bruised him up. Nobody says it didn't happen because it was undeniable. You want to know why it was undeniable? Because people saw him afterwards. Hundreds of people saw him, the resurrected Jesus, after he had been resurrected from death, after he had been in the tomb for 3 days, after he had publicly died on the cross. Yep. And the Bible says that now, today, Jesus has ascended to heaven where he sits at the right hand of the Father. And one day, he's going to come back. That could be today, and I pray to God it is. When he comes back, he will judge as only God can judge. And when he does, the question is, where will you be? Where will you be? If you want eternal life in heaven, here's how you do it. It's so easy. You simply repent and believe. You repent of your sins, and you put your trust in the Lord, and you trust him to forgive your sins. And if you believe in the finished work of Christ, when you do that, it's as though the Lord gets his permanent marker out, the Sharpie, the big fat Sharpie. He gets that marker out, and he writes your name in the Lamb's book of life. You can trust Jesus. He really is who he said he was. He really is God. He does as only God can do. He saves as only God can save. And thirdly, he judges as only God can judge. And it would be a valid statement maybe at this point in John chapter 5. It would be a valid statement for you to say, yeah, he said those things, but did he prove it? He said it, but saying it and proving it is two different things. We went to Sam's this week. I forget the day, Wednesday maybe. Y'all been to Sam's Club lately? You need a second mortgage on your house if you go there because it's expensive. Sam's is the only place that I know, Sam's Club, not Sam's Pharmacy. Sam's Club is the only place that I know of that still makes you take a paper copy of your receipt. I don't know anywhere else that does that. You want to know why they do that? Because when you get to the door, the guy at the door wants proof that what you say you've paid for, you've paid for. You want to know what the receipt that Jesus keeps for proof that he is who he said he was? You want to know what that receipt is? It's the resurrection. The resurrection is the proof, the ultimate, undeniable proof that he is who he said he was. And it is undeniable. Study it for yourself. Historians have tried. Lee Strobel, the once famous atheist, he went on an investigative journey to disprove Christ and he became a Christian. C.S. Lewis, the atheist, once called himself the most skeptical person in England, wrote scores of wonderful Christian books, became saved, and had his name put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brian Veal, the former atheist, he's now a believer because of Jesus, because of the resurrection. The resurrection is the hinge upon which all of human history swings. If the resurrection is true, then everything else in this book is true. So if you're questioning, can I follow Jesus? Can I trust Him? Study the resurrection. Study the resurrection of Christ. And when you do, you will find that it is undeniably true. And when you discover that, then you can trust and know that everything else in this word is true. Examine your heart. Do you know the Lord? Have you repented of your sins and trusted in Him? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it isn't, today is your day. You can repent of your sins right where you are and trust in Him and take that huge leap of faith and have your name written in permanent marker in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you are a believer, then hear me say this, you can trust Him. Whatever it is He's calling you to do, wherever it is He's asking you to go, whatever it is He's asking you to say, He's trustworthy. Even when none of it makes sense, He is trustworthy. You can trust Him. And I pray to God that you do today. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful that You are a trustworthy God, that You have proven Yourself to be true over and over and over again. I thank You, Lord, that we get the privilege this week to stand in front of dozens and dozens of children, showing them that You are trustworthy. We can trust You in a wild world at VBS. God, I thank You for the work You've done in my life. I thank You for the work You've done in the lives of the people in this room. And Father, I pray now that as we bring this message and this service to a close, I pray if there's someone here who doesn't yet know You as Savior and Lord, that today would be the day they would repent of their sin, trust in You, and be saved. And Father, for those of us who do know You as Savior and Lord, I pray You would increase our faith. I pray You would help us to trust You, to step out in faith and do whatever it is You're calling us to do. And I pray, Lord, as we do that, as we trust You both individually and corporately as a church, as we trust You with the days ahead, we pray that You are glorified, magnified, and made big. Thank You, Lord, for winning the war. Thank You for winning the war so that we can know, even as we fight the battles here on earth, that we are heaven bound. We love You, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.